Well, the Cam Newton-led New England Patriots are 1-0, Wiggy. And joining us right now to talk about that and the rest of the NFL, it is Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Town Fair Tire, also by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots, Truly Hard Seltzer, Arbella Insurance, and by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs fast. And joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, it is Boomer Esiason. Morning, Boomer.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on, as always. And pretty good start for Cam Newton, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's great to have football back. And were you surprised at all by how well Cam Newton played yesterday?
Not real. I mean, I knew that, and I think we all knew, it's not just me. I mean, we all knew that Josh McDaniels would come up with something that would play to Cam Newton's skill set. And sure enough, you know, when he's taken off for 75 yards in the ground, I don't think Tom Brady has had 75 yards in 10 years running the football for the New England offense. That you adapt, you adjust, and you try to put the player that you have at the most important position on the field in the best situation for him to have success. So it turned out great. You know, they didn't play a great Miami team. Their defense was awesome yesterday, I will say. And I think that's going to be the strength of their team. And, you know, Cam's going to continue to learn, get more and more comfortable. But, you know, it'll be tougher when they play tougher competition. But I just thought yesterday was what I would call a very solid win that was not surprising, especially with the way that their defense played.
And why do you think the Dolphins didn't sign Cam?
You know, because they drafted Tua, and foremost. He's going to be the guy eventually. And, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick actually played reasonably well for them last year. And I'm sure Brian Flores feels a little bit of, I think love for Ryan and, you know, getting him through his first year and everything else. And Ryan did play well. They did beat the Patriots at the end of last year. But that's Tua's team in the future. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he'll take over this year. Once they realize that they're out of the playoffs, they'll give the ball to him and let him go play.
Are you surprised Tua didn't see any action yesterday?
I thought maybe they would put him in somewhere along the line. But maybe they just want to make sure that that hip is 100%. They also want to make sure that he knows the offense, that he understands what's going on. And quite frankly, that's going to be one of the better defenses they play. So I was hoping to see him, but I can't say that I'm surprised that I didn't.
Boomer, when you think about the way Josh McDaniels ran that game as far as play calling, he made sure Cam was very comfortable with the RPO, put him in a position to make easy throws. What kind of grade would you give Josh McDaniels as far as week one, game one, no preseason, as far as putting a game plan together for Cam Newton?
Coach Belichick is going to hate this. I give him an A+. You know, Coach Belichick's one keeps everybody on edge, coaches included. But again, you know, you're playing to a man's strength, and you know Cam looked great. It's one game out of 16. It's a long season. They're asking him to do a lot of physical stuff. One of the reasons why Cam has been hurt over the last 2 years is because of the physical stuff that he does bring to the game. So yesterday, he looked like the 2015 MVP, at least physically he did. I'm sure he made his share of mistakes that we didn't see, that the coaches see, whether it be, you know, maybe a wrong formation somewhere along the line, maybe a wrong snap count somewhere along the line. Maybe he missed an audible here or there. Those things happen in every single game.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, what we saw was the athlete that we saw in 2015. That is a tremendous asset to have when used correctly. And certainly Josh McDaniel did that yesterday. And I think as the season goes on, they'll do more and more and more stuff. You know, we at CBS, we asked Julian Edelman yesterday, you know, how would you describe the offense? He goes, you know, that's above my pay grade. I don't describe anything. I just go out there and play. So things are pretty much back to normal in New England.
Right. Now, do you think Bill watched the Bucs when he got home?
He had to.
Right.
He had to. 100%. Either that or he's breaking down next week's opponent. But I would think he was watching the Bucs. I would think at least for 1 week that there is some sort of satisfaction as what to happen. But, you know, we'll see what happens next week, because next week they have to go on the road and they play against the Seahawks on Sunday night. So the Seahawks are a different animal. Now, they don't have to worry about the crowd noise, which is a good thing for the road team this year. But still, the Seahawks and Russell Wilson are a completely different set of circumstances than the Miami Dolphins and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
One of the things that you talked about is the physical portion of Cam Newton's game. The thing that I noticed yesterday was that when he was running the football, he made it a conscious effort to make sure he was getting down, he wasn't taking those unnecessary hits. You think Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels got in his ear and said, hey, Cam, listen, no need to be a superhero here. Get what you can get and then get down.
You know, I don't think they really discuss those things, Wiggs. I'm telling you, I think what they do is they just let the player play, mm-hmm. and they put him in a situation where he's got to make the decision. Ultimately, that's what it does come down to. I mean, every quarterback will always tell you that you know, they'll give you a game plan. They'll try to get you set up to expect certain things, and when certain things don't happen or they're unpredictable, then you have to play as a football player and just let your natural abilities take over. Cam is so big and so strong. You know, you can't even – I don't know if you guys have ever stood next to him. You can't believe how big he is. Matter of fact, I go back to when he was in ninth grade. I run an all-star football game here in high school for high school kids here in New York and Long Island. And Cam Newton's team from Atlanta came up. They were doing a tour as a part of the NFL flag football program. And Cam and I were standing on the football field at Hofstra, and we were running pat and goes mm-hmm. down the sideline. And, you know, he just kept whistling the balls over the guy's head, and I just kept dropping them in. And he looked at me, and he goes, you know, Mr. Esiason, you should play football. No, I had already been retired for a number of years. I said, well, Cam, I used to play football. And But at that time, he was 19, he was 14 years old, and he was as big as I was.
Right.
And I just couldn't believe that a high school kid, or a ninth grader, was that big for that matter. So he is a really, really big, strong, athletic human being. And I think we saw that all on display yesterday. And hopefully that stays that way for the rest of the season for him. And he can continue to grow within this offense. And Josh McDaniels will add more and more and more things as it goes on. The only thing I don't like about Cam sometimes is the drama that happens around him. So, you know, he's wearing this $100,000 chain around his neck during a football game. And, you know, Landon Roberts and those guys are trying to rip it off his neck. And they do that just to try to get underneath his skin and to try to get him off his game. And sometimes he buys into those things. And at the end of the game, like, I don't know, when was the last time you saw anything like that at a Patriot game over the last 20 years?
Well, Odell wore like a $200,000 watch.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but not. It doesn't happen in New England. No. Yeah, but he didn't play for the Patriots.
That's true.
Yeah, what do you think Bill's reaction to that was afterwards, Boomer?
I'm sure he just rolled his eyes, just like he did, you know, in the post-game press conference. Bill was did it feel any different that there were no fans there? What was the experience like? Practice.
I think
you know that's exactly what it was like.
I think when we talked to you last week, you talked about some question about linebackers and that defense overall. What did you think of that defense yesterday?
Yeah, I thought they played great. I really did. They, you know, and again, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's not a great offense. You know, I don't necessarily know that they're up and running like some other teams are. It's week one. There are a lot of unanswered questions for a lot of teams. It's the first time these teams now have tape on their own team and the team that they're playing against. And they'll correct mistakes. But when you come away with three interceptions, you know, that's what they did last year. That's who they were last year. The strength of their team was the secondary. And again, it showed itself yesterday. Stephon Gilmore atoned for, you know, that game that Devontae Parker had against him last year where everybody was writing about, oh, this is where Devontae Parker broke out. And I guarantee that Stephon Gilmore had been listening to that all offseason long. And Stephon played a great game yesterday, as did all of the defense for that matter.
The one thing I'm a little bit concerned with this defense, Boomer, is the fact that this still seems like the back end is great, but it still seems like they're not able to get a pass rush. Are you concerned with that? I know it's week one, but are you concerned with that moving forward? Because this has kind of been their Achilles heels for, it seems like, the past several years.
Well, they're going to be pass rushed by committee like they always are. They're going to be pass rushed by scheme like they always are. They never really truly, you know, they had one in Chandler Jones, and then he kind of lost his mind there, so they moved him on, and now he's doing great things out in Arizona. But when I think of what they are defensively, the word that comes to mind is multiple, and they ask their players to do a lot of little different things that most teams don't ask their players to do. So there's a lot of thinking that goes on this defense for the Patriots, which confuses the opposing quarterback. It's going to be interesting watching them play this week against Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson had a fantastic game yesterday against Atlanta. He is a mobile quarterback, much like Cam Newton, but he throws first and runs second. So he'll be one of the odds-on favorites to be considered the NFL MVP at the end of the year, and he started off great yesterday. So we'll learn more about this defense as they play better quarterbacks in tougher situations, and that will be, I think, the prime example this coming Sunday night.
A week into this, Boomer, who do you think has a chance to beat the Chiefs?
The Ravens. We haven't seen the Steelers. We'll see them tonight against the Giants. I think the Steelers. Anybody that has a top-flight defense and running game. My buddy Frank Reich, the head coach of the Colts, who unfortunately lost yesterday and probably the biggest upset of the day to Jacksonville and Gardner Minshew, told me last year, he goes, look, when you go in there and you play the Chiefs, what you have to do is you have to hold on to the ball, you got to convert third downs, and you got to try to frustrate Patrick Mahomes if that's even possible. But now with Edwards-Helaire in the background, backfield for the Chiefs, they do have a running game that is going to be significant, and he's a quick scat back. So they added more speed to their team. So I would say the Ravens are going to be there. The Pittsburgh Steelers will probably be there. The Patriots defense, you know, they'll come up with a scheme. And here's the thing. If the Patriots run the ball 42 times like they did yesterday, you know, that game was over faster than every other game because of the amount of runs the Patriots had success with and how they were holding on to the football and just eating up the clock. So that's the other way that you beat Kansas City. So I think the secondary is going to be good enough to do it. And as long as Cam doesn't turn the ball over, they should be okay because they should be able to run the ball and control it. And when you look at all the games yesterday, for the most part, the quarterbacks that turned the balls over yesterday through the interceptions, Tom Brady interceptions, Phillip Rivers interceptions, those guys lost yesterday because of the mistakes that they made.
What did you think of that pass interference call against Michael Gallup and the Cowboys lost? Do you think they would have won that game if that hadn't have happened? There's a lot of controversy over that yesterday.
There's a ton of controversy over it, and there should be. The big point about what I thought happened last night, you know, Dak Prescott had a great first half. I thought he really looked good. As a matter of fact, I was texting one of the guys that I work with here at WFN, who's a Cowboy fan. I said, man, this guy's worth $34 million if he's going to play this way. And then all of a sudden it dies at the end of the game. Now, there was a bad call. There's no question about it. But all of a sudden, whatever energy that was there in the first half is no longer there mm-hmm. in the second half. And if you want to get those big contracts, that's a game he's got to win. That's a game they should have won. Now, they had a ton of injuries last night. That's the other thing. I can't wait to it's not that I look forward to see how many guys are injured. I just want to know, like, the nature of the injuries after these guys really haven't had a training camp. And I think they lost Vander Esch last night. They lost Jarwin last night. They're starting tight end. They lost a bunch of guys. But still, that's a game that they need to win, that they should have won. And even regardless of a big bad call or not, I mean, Dak has got to raise his level of play and lead his team to victory on the road. And I'm telling you, when you look at quarterback matchups, for the most part, you're going to see guys winning that outplay the guy who's playing the position on the other team. Kyler Murray over Jimmy Garoppolo. Drew Brees didn't make any mistakes. He didn't have a big game, but he didn't make any mistakes. He didn't throw an interception for a touchdown return. And Brady would tell you that straight up. I mean, that's really what the game is about at our position, making the key plays when the game is on the line and not making those bad mistakes that end up costing your team 6 points. Like on a pick six, like Tom threw yesterday.
Did the lack of fans impact your enjoyment when you were watching it all, Boomer?
I didn't feel that way. You know, I've been watching a lot of NBA and NHL and MLB for that matter. There's something on every channel now, which is amazing. I mean, considering where we were March, April, May, and June with nothing on, now we have everything on, the U.S. Open. We have the U.S. Open Golf this week at Wingfoot down here. It's crazy. It's nonstop. So I think I'm kind of conditioned not to expect the fans. And, you know, Jacksonville had a few fans yesterday. But, I guess we'll all just get used to it until the fans can come back.
Is there any difference in your job now, Boomer, from the TV side and having this socially distanced studio set up? Or is it all pretty much the same for you?
No, it's different. It's completely different. And I think I'm glad you asked that, Danielle, because CBS did an unbelievable job yesterday for us. There's only certain areas in the broadcast center that we can go. Now, the broadcast center is a huge building, and it goes from 10th Avenue all the way down to 11th Avenue between 57th and 56th Street. So it
That's
is
huge.
Yes, it's an enormous building. It's an entire block, and CBS News is in there. Obviously, we're in there. There are other shows. The Drew Barrymore show shoots in there. And everybody has a specific part of the building that you can only enter into and exit out of. And when you're in that building, only certain hallways you can go down. And then when we are in the studio, the only ones that are not allowed to wear a mask are us guys on TV. Everybody around us, camera, audio, makeup, you name it, any other person, research support, producers, directors, everybody has to wear masks around us anyway, and in their respective zones, and they can't go anywhere. So it's I thought it was really done well yesterday for us at CBS. We also have to go through a COVID test every week. We also have to take a temperature check with a virtual nurse every week before we go into the building. So there's a lot of safety protocols in place, and I felt yesterday was different, but it wasn't all that crazy.
I mean, they can't even get you a real nurse. I mean, you have to be a first.
I don't know if I should say, well, I don't know. All I can tell you is I had two very good-looking nurses that gave me virtual temperature checks.
Okay, all right. All right. You're getting there, Boomer.
Tread lightly, Boomer.
I know, right?
Tread lightly, man. Yeah, see what they did to Mike Milbury.
Right, I know. I don't want this to be like, you know, some sort of podcast where I'm going to get myself in trouble.
No, you're fine. Okay. And you nailed Danielle's name several times, so no flowers.
I will never forget that. We're good, Danielle. I still, to this day, it mortifies me.
It's all good, Boomer. Right.
Well, okay, listen, we're glad we got to talk to you this morning. We'll talk to you next week, Boomer.
I love talking to you guys after a win. Everybody's in a good mood.
Absolutely.
See you guys. Have a great day.